Father, I just truly do thank you tonight. I thank you for all you're doing to your people, for your people, and in your people, and through your people. I thank you, Father, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And Father God, it's through you and in you that we even exist. So, Father, I'm asking right now that your holy angels that are encamped around about this room, that they start walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to the needs of your people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk on a true prophet. And when researching what people say about prophets, it just blew my mind at what people say about prophets and call themselves pastors, and they don't believe in prophets. They brought out some scriptures, you know, that talks about prophets, but then as I read what they were saying, they didn't believe in them, and there isn't prophets today. So I just want to warn you, everybody, to really be careful what you're reading and what you're looking at, and make sure you know it lines up with the Word of God, and it's not just somebody. I don't care if they have reverend in front of their name or not. That, you know, you need to know your Bible. You really do need to know your Bible. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is Jeremiah speaking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. And this was a prophet that God called in the Old Testament. And this is, he said, I put my words in your mouth. If you're a true prophet, you never have to wonder what you're going to be saying, because God will put the words, God is done doing the speaking. I should put it that way. And if God isn't using you, then he really has nothing to say. So, you know, don't be concerned about that either. And 1 Kings 18:19 says, now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Yeah. We know that. We know that he wasn't the only prophet. But from these two scriptures right here, we see that there are two types of prophets. The true prophets of God and the false prophets of Baal. God has been warning us over and over again to watch, because the false prophets have been in the house of God now for a couple years, full force. And, you know, I have found out that people like to believe a lie rather than the truth. I've also seen God speak into people's lives. He sent an angel with the word that they wanted to hear, not what God wanted to say. And then whenever things don't come to pass, you blame the prophet, and all along that you're the fault. You either can make that prophecy come to pass, or you can break it. You know, it's some, no, but somebody else can't do that for you. Matthew 11:7 says, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This has been this warfare between heaven and hell has been going on, it says here, before the days of John the Baptist, right? So I said, the kingdom of heaven, well, the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Now, I read that scripture to say this. Don't judge a prophet by their looks. You know, Todd Bentley came on the scene all tattooed up. Now, some people didn't want anything to do with him because he's tattooed up. Other people prophesied falsely about the tattoos. And I took it to God. I said, God, what? I mean, I knew the man was anointed. You could tell he was anointed. So what's this all about? What does his tattoos have to do with anything? He said, nothing. He said, but my people will understand that I'll use anybody who was willing. And so you're going to see an awful lot of tattooed. I'm saying this now. We do see an awful lot of tattooed people now on the earth. But that God does not want you to be tattooed. So don't go out there and get a tattoo because you use Todd Bentley. See, we don't want to put ourselves in a mold. We are all different. God uses our personalities. I've told you this over and over again. But with the false prophets now coming on the scene, you're going to hear a lot of things that are not of God. And you guys have really, you really have to be discerning in the spirit realm what is going on. How many of us would not recognize John the Baptist as a prophet if Jesus had not declared him to be the greatest prophet of the old covenant? Here he was, a wild man living in the mountain, in the desert, right? And he had on camel suit, right? Eating locusts and honey and shouting, repent. His hair was all wild looking, right? And with me, I wouldn't think that was a prophet. Comb your hair at least. Get it cut. Now comb your hair at least. You know what I'm saying? Go take a bath. Well, he should have been clean. He was in the water all the time dipping to people. But, you know, really and truly, sometimes you look around and you see somebody all gussied up. Everything's in proper place. Every hair is in place. And they're up there prophesying. You think, boy, aren't they wonderful? A wonderful prophet of God. And really and truly, if you let God see past that and see what's inside of them, you'll find out they're really not a true prophet. But they're out there making money on the prophetic. And we should never do that. Amen. So I said, how many of you would recognize him? But John was indeed a true prophet, meaning he was not only, now listen to this, meaning he was not only steadfastly loyal to God and to the direction God gave him, but he was genuine and true to who he knew he was as well. He knew who he was, and he was true to himself. And he went ahead and did what God told him to do no matter what. If you are called as a prophet, you can take encouragement from the fact that you are not called to look like other prophets or to fit into the mold of what people may understand or recognize. You are only called to become who you are in Christ. Now, if God has spoken to you and said you're going to be a prophet, if God said it, then you're going to be a prophet. You know, and doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter black, white, in between, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your language is. God has said you're going to be a prophet, then don't go to him and say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, just like Jeremiah. I'm a young boy. If God so desires to place a prophetic gifting in one of your young children, that's God's business, nobody else's. And I've seen that happen. John the Baptist, the prophet. We find John outside the religious system, baptizing people for repentance, encouraging people to completely change their ways and be restored to a real relationship with God the Father. We don't see John telling people their family history and prophesying future signs like Samuel did. I see some people are going to do that and some people won't. We don't see John giving counsel to military leaders and prophetic direction to kings. We don't see him doing a lot of things that we would immediately recognize as prophetic. All of those things are legitimate, but they are not the things that make a person a prophet. I say, God, you use some people to give a two-page prophetic word. You use me to give four lines. Does that make me any less a prophet? No. So I mean, you stand up and you prophesy all over. I mean, you on and on and on and on. You go and I thought, when are you ever going to stop? Then when God uses me, flat, this is the way it is, and it's done. And it's not on and on and on. Are you understanding this? God uses you as you are. You're unique. You're different. And don't try to be a clone. This God's really dealt with me about this. He said that with what's coming down the road, the true prophet is going to be bombarded like never before. So we have to know what God has called us to do. Then we just have to, if God feels like using you, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And you have to say to people, I'm not hearing nothing. If you're not hearing nothing, don't make anything up. Don't try to prove yourself. That'll get you in a whole lot of trouble. One time whenever Brother Chris was going to marry somebody else, God told me, I don't want him marrying her. It's not my will. I told him. He threw away everything she ever got him. Then other prophets came to me and said, you are dead wrong. He is supposed to be married to her. So then I went to him and I said, Chris, everybody else is saying you're supposed to be married, but I know what God told me, but so please don't listen to what I have to say. So he didn't, because I told him not to, and got married, and it wasn't of God. It was a mess. So why I brought that up is, don't let other people make you believe you didn't hear God. That's why I'm saying that. Because then that God, I've always felt bad the whole time they were married because of all the problems they went through. I thought if I just would not have went to him and told him, I might be wrong. He wouldn't have gotten married if I would have stuck with what God told me. Are you in some understanding? I've never done that again, and I won't ever do it again. If God tells me something, somebody else says I'm wrong, I say, take it to God. You know, I'll never do that again because I've ruined somebody's life, a portion of it. See, we have to be careful what we're doing if we're prophets of God, because we are either building their life or we're tearing it down. We're giving them hope or false hope, you know. Where am I at? What we do see is that John was tearing up faulty foundations and laying down God foundations. He was hearing and seeing what God was doing in the earth and in his lifetime and in the sphere of influence he was called to, and he was working with God to see it come to pass. See, we should be prophesying in our sphere right now. Some people God has out there where he's telling them what's going to happen 20 years down the road. Now, I have seen something. I want you to be watchful of this, too. I've heard people, they read other people's articles. And because they're important in the world's eyes, because they're selling lots of books, they said, that's gospel. And so they've got jumped on the bandwagon and did the same thing, and it wasn't gospel. So don't, just because somebody writes something that's what you call famous does not mean everything they write is gospel. I really want you to glean from that, because that has gotten the people in trouble that read the book and then repeated what they read, and it's gotten the world in trouble because the world believed it. See, what you need to do, maybe quit reading so much. And just read what God says. You'll find me not reading very much at all. In fact, I don't have time to. But even if I did, I used to read a lot. But I would read like Perry Stone, and Kenneth Hagin and those. But these other things I don't go into because they're delving into things I know that God does not want brought forward. Yet it's causing a lot of confusion in the body of Christ and in the world. Are you listening here? Now, if you really pick up a book to read it, and if you ask the Holy Spirit to start reading it with you, he's going to tell you either to put the book down or keep reading. If you put him into that. It's just like when Rebecca Brown wrote that book, Came to Set the Captives Free. I walked into it, and that was a big book. I'd never read big books. I'd read thin books. But, I walked in the bookstore, and God said, I want you to buy that book. Here was this big book. And I said, really, Lord, I want you to buy that book. And I want you to read it immediately. I did. And that's where deliverance ministry, you know, come into, well, it isn't where it came in, but it helped with deliverance ministry. And I went to church the next day, and the lady held, my pastor held up that book. If anybody has this book in their presence, burn it. The minute you go, burn it. Well, then see, I said, I'm not going to do that because I know that I know that I know that my father told me to write to buy that book. And kind of found out later that they didn't believe the stuff that was in there. It was true stuff. But they see, they didn't practice it, so therefore they didn't believe it, and they didn't want nobody else to know anything about it. All right? There was a book that when I was first born again in 77, there was a book called out, Come Away, My Beloved. And I walked into the bookstore, you know, first time after being born again, all excited, you know, going to look at all the books. And God said, as I got out of the car, he said, I want you to go in there and ask that lady to sell you Come Away, My Beloved. So I walked through the door and I said to the lady behind the desk, I said, do you have a book called Come Away, My Beloved? She said, it's right over there. It's a bestseller. And what it is, it's prophetic words. And see, God told me to buy the book. Don't read it, he said, just buy it. And so when I'd be praying, he would say, go to that book and go to Come Away, My Beloved and read page, I'll say 50. And that page 50 related to what I was going through right then and there. I see some of you, the rest of you have that book too. But you see, that's how God works. And there are some books that I've looked at and God said, don't even touch those. And you know, I want you to do yourself a favor. When you're scanning through the computer and looking for stuff that other people talk about, ask the Holy Spirit to go with you. Because he will right away witness to you whether it's is spirit or is not spirit. Are you listening? There's an awful lot of stuff out there that is not of the spirit. You can tell it as soon as you start reading it. All right, we see John the Baptist releasing and demonstrating the message of God for his generation. Because he listened to God's voice and cooperated, his life prepared the way for Christ to be released into his full public ministry. What did it say he did? He listened and he cooperated with God. I want each one of you in your night, I want you to listen to your prophetic word. I'm going to say this, and this is nothing, I'm not bragging or nothing, but if you got a prophetic word from anybody in here, then it was God. It was really God. I won't let anybody prophesy. If I catch you prophesying out of the will of the Father, I will tell you, you can't prophesy again. Now, what you need to do when other people come in the doors saying they're prophets, instead of running to them to get a word, you need to stay clear. Listen to what they have to say. I haven't sought God's face about them. And I don't want anybody coming in here prophesying over you guys and making you messed up. You hear me? I mean, you know, if it's God, it's God. But if it isn't, it isn't. And I like to know who's prophesying over my sheep. And I used to tell people, I wish you wouldn't prophesy over my sheep after I do. I said, we have a set of prophets here. And if God wanted you to be a prophet and prophesy over people, he would bring you into the fold. And they got upset about that. Why would you get upset about that? You know, I have said in many, many churches, and God has told me something about somebody in that church, and I never once told that person that. I wasn't the pastor there. I wasn't part of their fellowship. I was set there, you know, and God didn't say get up and tell them, but he did tell me about them. Do you know why people think they have to prophesy after the pastor or the prophetic team do? They think that they want to show you they're better than the pastor and the team is. That's what that's all about. And there's something in them that is drawn to the spirit in you that wants to hear what you want to hear. Come on. So I used to go all around before I became a pastor, and you know, but God would never let me be prophesied over somebody that was not prophetic. You know, not of him. He just wouldn't let me do that. He would do something to get me out of their presence. One time I went to, I think we went to Baltimore, and they separated us. You know, Larry was taken in one room and I was taken in another. Well, I was the first one in the room, and they said, we're going to get you as you, you know, go right down to seats as you come in. I was the first one sitting in the first seat. They started in back the room, prophesied to everybody, and came up to me. Then the woman said, you just need to get your act together, and walked away. God did not want me in that meeting. He did not want those people prophesying to me. But I went in there. Well, I even said, God, and she said, why didn't they pick me first? I was the first one in here. Why are they starting back there? He said, I don't want you in here. See, what I should have done at that point was, I think it's about the fourth time I disobeyed God, isn't it? I should have gotten up and walked out of the room. because the person was in every prophecy, I didn't know what she was talking about. I could tell that as she was going. But I thought when she got to me, surely God would make her say the right thing. You can do what you want to do. But the more people you let prophesy over you that are not of God, the more messed up your life's going to be. Come on, guys. The work of a genuine prophet. So anyhow, that one point here is that he heard God's voice and he cooperated with God, all right? The work of a genuine prophet. Prophets do not only focus on the prophetic, they simply are prophetic. You hear that? Prophets are not on a single-minded mission to prophesy and share revelation. They are on a single-focused mission to please God. They live to see Christ fully formed in believers and within their sphere of influence, preparing the church and the world for more of God. If you're a true prophet, you're not going to sit there and give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. You're not going to say that, you know, for somebody. You're not going to say it because she's hot. Will you give her some air? Yeah. You shouldn't even do that when you go in the house of God. Because what's going to happen is the devil's going to use somebody to give you a word that you wanted to hear and mess you up. You don't go into the house of God just to hear a word. You go in the house of God to sit with the Father. And if God wants to give you a word, then that's wonderful. That's a little gift he gave you. But don't leave all in a huff because he didn't talk to you. I mean, when God put me in the scene, I would prophesy until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, they start with 7 or 8 people. And then as I started prophesying, wow, she's telling our life history. They went out and told all their friends. And I was there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But that wasn't my mission. I went out to preach a message to them. But God just started prophesying. And there wasn't a prophet around here, so they got all excited. That didn't puff me up. Because when you prophesy that long, you're tired. And you know, and then you're standing there and you're saying all these words to all these different people. This is the way I do it. And I'm wondering, God, is that you? And because so many things are being said. So I watch people. Yeah. I'm giving myself away. So I look at people with them. Is this right or not? I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you know. So then you think, well, I'll keep on going. They'll let God have it go. And you know, God's wanted to use me sometimes too. And I would say, no. I'm not in the right frame of mind. No, I don't want to do that, Lord, because I was afraid that something would get in there and be a mixture. You know, so I hope that you all are like that too, that you just don't want to be out there and be a prophet, that, you know, just to prophesy that if you're not right, keep your mouth shut. When I was sitting there, I said, don't use me, Lord. Just don't use me tonight because I'm upset. He started using me. Use me all night. And he said, if I want to use you, I'll use you. But there's been other times when he's just let me go ahead and relax. You know, be a friend to your Father. And that way you have a relationship with him, and you know, and he'll work with you. He won't work against you. And people do want to know what's going to happen in their lives. They do. And it's good that God speaks and tells you what's going to come down the road. He doesn't tell you how long down the road, but he does tell you it is going to happen. And then at least you have something to look forward to. Know that somewhere along the line, God is going to work things out, even though at the moment it just seems downright impossible. All right? Just like all the fivefold ministries in the New Covenant, you can see that in Ephesians 4, 8 through 12. Prophets are called to equip all believers to do the works of Christ and to edify the church. Prophets are called to equip all believers to do the works of Christ and to edify the church. But a prophet's primary job is to see the revealed purposes of God fulfilled in a particular group of people for a particular season of time. A true prophet becomes the message of God and declares it through their very lives, living relevant to heaven and influential in the earth. They focus on what God shows to them. Their ministry relies upon what God reveals. That's a fact. It's not fiction. A prophet cuts through the facade and calls things out for what they are to shake and shift the church into alignment with heaven. A prophet cuts through the facade and calls things out for what they are to shake and shift the church into alignment with heaven. They dig up rotting and broken foundations, replace them with God foundations, and lead the church into Christ-like maturity. They declare the heart and purpose of God, prophesying life into the things that God is doing. A prophet prepares the way for Christ to be honored as King, Lord, and Savior. They open up a place in people's lives for the presence and power of Christ to transform them into who they are in Christ. They open up a place in people's lives for the presence and power of Christ to transform them into who they are in Christ. You know, just like when I prophesied to an older person, God said, I'm not finished with them yet. And that older person might think God's totally finished with them. They might think God's never going to use them again. And he said, I want to talk to them because I need to tell them what I'm going to do. And so I want you to be encouraged, if you're older, that God does speak into your life. If he's finished with you, he just flat won't tell you he is. I mean, he won't say, I'm not finished with you. He just won't talk about that. You know, that's the kind of God that I serve anyhow. He's not going to tell you things just to tell you something. He's not going to give you false hope, all right? Be a true prophet. You cannot decide to become a prophet or obtain a piece of paper that proves you are a prophet. A true prophet is called by God alone. Are you listening here? If God called you as a prophet, you will go through years of preparation as you grow in favor with God and man. But first, I mean, I've got to tell you, when I was born again, God put me right on the scene prophesying. Now, I didn't know what prophesying was, so I didn't go through these years of preparation. But some people do. But first, you will learn to feel at home and comfortable alone in the wilderness with God. And I've always said, I don't like to be around people. I'd rather be alone with God so I can feel his heart and hear what he has to say. God will lead you down a path in your life that forms within you a determination to pursue God in his way. Even if no one ever recognizes you for who you are, you will become willing to go against the flow of all humanity, if necessary, to remain loyal to God. Even if no one ever recognizes you for who you are, you will become willing to go against the flow of all humanity, if necessary, to remain loyal to God. You know, if you have a ministry and somebody's always every day coming and prophesying to you, think, dear Lord, just be quiet. And so somebody was doing that to me one time. I said, God, what is this all about? And he said, they are a self-appointed scribe. They thought they had to give me a word every day. And I said, God, please still their tongue. And God did, because I knew it wasn't God whenever they were doing it. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings either. All right? So I want you to watch that too. Some people they think that they're a self-appointed scribe over you. And they think they have to speak into your life every day. You know, and that's not true. God will speak into your life. God will tell you what to do. You don't have to have a human being tell you all that. Amen? And, you know, there's been times when I was just young in the Lord and didn't understand things. I would say, God, you know, God would speak something to me personally. And then I would say, God, would you please speak that through somebody else to me to confirm what you just said? He did that once. He said, that's enough. He said, you have to learn to know that I am speaking to you and you don't have to have it be confirmed. All right. But, you know, we have to put this thing in right context. If a voice is speaking to you and you're saying, well, if that's you, God, confirm it. If the devil's speaking to you, he'll have somebody else say the same thing. Come on. So I would really learn to know God's voice and quickly. When I first came on the scene, I still go to Berlin, Maryland every year and minister to them on a Saturday. But the first time I went, the pastor's wife did not believe in prophets. I didn't know them. I prophesied over. Second year I went, then I knew she didn't believe, but I said, God, don't use me to speak to her. He used me to speak to her. Third time I went, I knew she didn't believe in it, but I prophesied over, and she said, you've made me a believer because for 3 years you've prophesied the very exact same words, letter to letter. She said, I now believe in prophets. Now, isn't that awesome? She said, and I know you know, because being up there, she said, you can't remember nothing. And I know you couldn't remember from one year to the next what you spoke to me, and then to do it three times. So see how God, isn't God awesome? He's so awesome. At some point, people will recognize and affirm your calling. So don't worry about who you're working for. Are you working for God or are you working for people? That's what you have to ask yourself. Who am I working for here, God or people? But if you have allowed God to break and mold you into maturity, you will come to a point where you will not be able to allow yourself to be swayed. You hearing that? Manipulated or wrangled by the praise, criticism, or opinions of any man. You will not feel the need to live up to the expectations or assumptions of others. Let's read that again. You will not feel the need to live up to the expectations or assumptions of others. You will learn to be genuine and true to who you really are in Christ. You'll just know that you know that you know you're a prophet. Anybody in here tonight, do you know that you know that you know that you're a prophet called by God? No. Now, a true prophet is not living to obtain or maintain a title or position. Like John the Baptist, they are not trying to appear to be like any prophet before them. They are only determined to be who they are. If God has called you as a prophet, you never need to try to be a prophet. I said that in the beginning. You only need to learn to be steadfastly loyal to God and to be genuine and true to who you really are in Christ. The church and the world need you to be true. You know, when I first came on the scene, I had the church by then, and Bill Hammond he always comes to this area. And it says, one time we was all over at whatever that restaurant was that closed down over there, and it was a leaders meeting. So somebody in there had all the pastors come up, get in line, had Bill Hammond stand there, and everybody prophesied to him. I heard four words. I forgot what they are now. It's been so long ago. And all these pastors before me was going on and on and on. And I said, God, all I heard was four words. If something about it, he was going to prosper. Right at that point, he was just beginning, and he had to work and everything to get his church going. So I was trying to sit down, and stay in line, stay in line. So when I got up to him, I said, Mr. Hammond, all I'm hearing is that whatever these four words were, something about prospering. And I said, that's all I have to say, and went and sat down. But I felt foolish. But to myself, I was thinking, what those first four words that I heard when we first got in line was what everybody was saying. They were all saying the same thing, but they had two-page prophecies going on. You know, I think of that, all that is. I think that's, I'm in a crowd of prophets, and I'm going to outdo everybody. And they just go on and on and on. And I'm thinking, I just like to sit down because my four words aren't going to mean anything. If God only gives you four words, that's all you have. If he gives you a page, then you got a page. But he doesn't expect you to want to stand there and outdo somebody that's ahead of you. All right? All right, Ezekiel 33. Is that where I'm at? Ezekiel 33, 1 through 33. I really want you to listen to this. Ezekiel says, God's message came to me. Son of man, speak to your people. Tell them, if I bring war on this land and the people take one of their citizens and make him their watchman, and if the watchman sees war coming and blows a trumpet warning the people, then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet and ignores it and war comes and takes him off, it's his own fault. He heard the alarm, he ignored it. It's his own fault. If he had listened, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees war coming and doesn't blow the trumpet, warning the people, and war comes and takes anyone off, I'll hold the watchman responsible for the bloodshed of any unmourned sinner. You hear that? If God tells you to tell somebody something they're in sin, and you don't tell them, they die, their blood's on your hands. So whether they like it or not, And some people's not going to like what God tells you, and they never do. You got to do it. Why do you want their blood to be on your hands just because they make you a face? A face isn't going to hurt you. So they leave her, well, they're not a prophet. They said, that, you know you're in sin. Come on. And God revealed it. And you just have to make the person look bad that prophesied over you so you look good. God will get you for that. Then he said to Ezekiel, you, son of man, are the watchman. I've made you a watchman for Israel. The minute you hear a message from me, warn them. If I say to the wicked, wicked man, wicked woman, you're on the fast track to death, and you don't speak up and warn the wicked to change their ways, the wicked will die unwarned in their sins, and I'll hold you responsible for their bloodshed. I just told a leader they were going to go to hell if they didn't get their things together. Well, they're upset with me. And then I read Ezekiel. I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, or maybe I shouldn't have done this, that, and the other. But Ezekiel tells me if I wouldn't have done that and they die in their sin, then I'm in trouble. Amen. But if you warn the wicked to change their ways and they don't do it, they'll die in their sins. Well warned, and at least you will have saved your own life. Prophets, are you hearing this? Well, see, when I told this leader that they were going to go to hell, that didn't change their ways, I mean, I was doing it in a nice way. I was doing it in a letter. And God was dictating the letter, so it wasn't me saying it. It was God. I don't know what people do in your own private. Well, they even said, you don't know what I do in my privacy in my home. But God does. Come on. If you don't want God to reveal your sin, then don't sit in the church where there's a prophet. Because eventually I'm going to bring what's done in the dark out in the open. Son of man, speak to Israel. Tell them, you've said our rebellions and sins are weighing us down. We're wasting away. How can we go on living? Tell them, as sure as I am the living God, I take no pleasure from the death of the wicked. I want the wicked to change their ways and live. Turn your life around. Reverse your evil ways. Why die, Israel? Come on. God, you know, the reason why God reveals your sin is because he doesn't want you to die in that sin and go to hell. Somebody sent me an email and said, will God embarrass me? No, God won't embarrass you. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If he's been dealing with you and dealing with you and dealing with you and you haven't changed, then he's going to bring in what you do in the dark out to the light. It's going to be revealed. I know a lot of things about a lot of people that God never speaks out in the open, but he just wants me to know what's going on behind the scenes. And it's not that I'm supposed to tell it. He just wants me, as a watchman, to know what I'm facing. Are you listening to that, too? So everything that God tells you, you're not supposed to reveal. One time years ago, a young lady come up here, and I called her up, I believe. And as she was walking up, God said she's a prostitute. He never brought that out in her prophetic word. Never. Now, see, I knew it. I could have said it in my own flesh, but I didn't do that. I don't do that. But God told her all these wonderful things that he was going to use her for. He said, if you turn around. So a lot of people who are, and see, what God, he didn't want her to die, so he was encouraging her, even though he let me know what she was. See, God doesn't want anybody to die, and you know in your heart and in your mind, your soul and your spirit that you are in sin. But somebody comes and gives you a really wonderful prophetic word, and you, wow, I got away with that. And then you justify what you do because of that wonderful word that God gave you, and really what God was trying to do was to build you up, to turn you around. So that you could go ahead and be what he said that you're going to be. What God prophesies to you is who you really are and what you're really going to do. Now, what you're doing in a secret closet somewhere is what you are at that point. But God's trying to get you to listen to his love for you, and he's trying to turn you around so that you'll become all that you can become in Christ Jesus. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. So, don't go into the house of God under condemnation. Have already be repented up. So if God speaks to you, he won't reveal what you just did. I'm making light of that, but that is the truth. But, you know, that's why I always bring up about King David, because he sinned, yes, but he only ever did one sin one time. That always amazes me. He never sinned the same sin twice. And God called him, what did he call him? Yeah, a man after his own heart. And when I first started reading the Bible and understanding what it was saying, I thought, boy, this man must have been perfect. And I thought, oh, well, he messed up. He messed up again. Now he even act like he was crazy because he's afraid of the people. You know, I said, this man really messed up. But yet he was a man after God's own heart, and God blessed him. And David always repented, quickly repented, and he never did it again. See, a lot of people repent, but go right back 2 minutes later and do the very same thing over again. And, you know, I'm never going to cuss again, Lord. Next day you're cussing. I'm never going to pick up another cigarette. All you guys are trying to break your cigarette habit. Know that. I'm never going to pick up another cigarette. You go right 5 minutes later, go pick up another cigarette. See, that's not true repentance. But if you slip a little bit and keep telling God, I mean, you tell God you're sorry again, but get rid of the dumb stuff. All right, quit holding on to things that eventually God's going to reveal what's going on. I've lost my place now. Where am I at, Nancy? Verse what? Is it 6 or 7? Oh, it's 12. There's more. There's more, son of man. Tell your people a good person's good life won't save him when he decides to rebel. See that? And a bad person's bad life won't prevent him from repenting of his rebellion. A good person who sins can't expect to live when he chooses to sin. Let's read that again. Verse 12. There's more, son of man, God's speaking to Ezekiel. Tell your people a good person's good life won't save him. See, now I was criticized for that too. They were said that wasn't true. Won't save him when he decides to rebel. And a bad person's bad life won't prevent him from repenting of his rebellion. A good person who sins can't expect to live when he chooses to sin. I don't care if I know what you're doing in back the doors in your house or not. God does. And God is going to reveal it. And, you know, and if God tells me to say something to them, I'll say it. But if he doesn't, I won't. You know, when I'm prophesying to him, because I don't talk to anybody otherwise, because all you want to do is just yank my chain anyhow. Come on. Verse 13, it's true that I tell good people, live, be alive, but if they trust in their good deeds and turn to evil, that good life won't amount to a hill of beans. They'll die for their evil life. You know, and I, just like whenever that person's upset with me, you know, I could lose my salvation right this second. But they don't believe that. Isn't that what it just told us right there? Then verse 14, on the other hand, if I tell a wicked person, you'll die for your wicked life, and he repents of his sin and starts living a righteous and just life, being generous to the down and out, restoring what he had stolen, cultivating life-nourishing ways that don't hurt others, he'll live. He won't die. You know, a sinner can turn around and live. Everybody's out there judging the alcoholics and the drug addicts and everything else. Well, you know what? I would take a good look at my own life. I would really see what's inside of me. What right do I have to judge somebody that's on drugs or on alcohol? I don't. But if I keep going to that person over and over and over, say, Jesus loves you and he'll help you through this thing, and they keep telling me, I'm not ready for that life, I'm not ready for that life. Well, you know what? They just might die in that sin. It won't be on, their blood won't be in my hands because I've kept going. And God loves you. God loves you. God wants to help you through this. And see, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to go to people that are messed up. And he wants us to tell them about God's love for them. But then after a fashion, God will say, now tell them they better straighten up. Or they're not going to make it. So if God does that with you, then that's God. You know? Am I in verse 16? None of his sins will be kept on the books. Let's go back to 15. Makes sense of that, Nancy. Being generous to the down and out, restoring what he has stolen, cultivating life-nourishing ways that don't hurt others, he'll live. He won't die. None of his sins will be kept on the books. I thought that was interesting. Every sin you ever commit is going to be erased out of that book. He's doing what's right, living a good life. He'll live. What did God say? I'm going to go out in the highways and byways and compel the sinners to come in. Your people say the master's way isn't fair. But it's the way they're living that isn't fair. You know, when I was first born again, married to my other husband, and I was fussing about my husband, and the pastor said, you know, you need to stop, because if your husband turns around and receives Christ, he goes to heaven too. I said, what? I did. I got really self-righteous. I said, you mean to tell me I've lived all my life, a sinless life, which I had. And I said, and you're telling me that this man was a mess. If he just comes in here right now to this church and says, God, I'm so sorry for what I did and repent, he's going to go to heaven same as I am. She said, yes. I said, boy, I got to go home and think about this. I didn't think that was fair, but it is fair. It's just, and it's honest. Everybody has a right to go to heaven. Everybody has a right to make mistakes. And everybody has a right to repent and get their life back together again. Your people say the master's way isn't fair. But it's the way they're living that isn't fair. When good people turn back from living good lives and plunge into sin, they'll die for it. So you guys better be careful. We all better be careful. I'm putting myself in there too. And when a wicked person turns away from his wicked life and starts living a just and righteous life, he'll come alive. Still, you keep on saying the master's way isn't fair. We'll see, Israel. I'll decide on each of you exactly according to how you live. So I don't want nobody going around pointing a finger at anybody, because God is going to decide who's right and who's wrong. Isn't that what that just said? In the 12th year of our exile, on the fifth day of the 10th month, a survivor from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city's fallen. The evening before the survivor arrived, the hand of God had been on me and restored my speech. By the time he arrived in the morning, I was able to speak. I could talk again. God's message came to me. Son of man, those who are living in the ruins back in Israel are saying Abraham was only one man and he owned the whole country. But there are lots of us. Our ownership is even more certain. So tell them, God the Master says, you eat flesh that contains blood. You worship no God idols. You murder at will, and you expect to own this land. Some people do all this and expect to go to heaven. You rely on the sword. You engage in obscenities. You indulge in sex at random, anyone, anytime, and you still expect to own this land. Tell them this, Ezekiel, the message of God, the Master, as sure as I am the living God, those who are still alive in the ruins will be killed. Anyone out in the field, I'll give to wild animals for food. Anyone hiding out in the mountain forts and caves will die of disease. I'll make this country an empty wasteland. No more arrogant bullying Israel's mountains will become dangerously desolate. No one will dare pass through them. They'll realize that I am God when I devastate the country because of all the obscenities they've practiced. As for you, son of man, you've become quite the talk of the town. Your people meet on street corners and in front of their houses and say, let's go hear the latest news from God. They show up, as people tend to do, and sit in your company. They listen to you speak. Just listen to what he has to say here. They listen to you speak, but don't do a thing you say. Isn't that the way it is? They flatter you with compliments, but all they care about is making money and getting ahead. To them, you're merely entertainment. A country singer of sad love songs, playing a guitar. They love to hear you talk, but nothing comes of it. But when all this happens, and it is going to happen, they'll realize that a prophet was among them. Are you hearing what thus saith the Lord tonight? He's saying you better listen to the prophet of God. You better do what the prophet of God is bringing forth. Because God is speaking to that prophet. He's not speaking to the wind. He's speaking to that prophet. And that prophet is trying to save your life. You know, God says, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Why do you think he says that? if you're going to come against a prophet of God, and if you're going to talk about a prophet of God, God's going to come down hard and heavy on you. So you better watch what you say and watch what you think. A lot of people think a lot of things that they think nobody knows I'm thinking that. God does. Who do they think they are? Well, as a prophet of God, and I know I'm a prophet of God because God gave me that scripture about John the Baptist. I know that I am. So I'm telling you, as a prophet of God, I would be very careful of what you say about prophets. See, I'm not allowed to talk about another prophet at all, period. God said, you just leave your mouth off of everybody else. You walk your walk. You do what I'm telling you to do and leave everybody else alone. So I'm telling you tonight what God told me. You keep your mouth off of the prophets of God. Even if they're a false prophet, keep your mouth off of them. And you do what God's telling you to do and only what God's telling you to do. And let God take care of his business, which is taking care of the people that are out there falsely prophesying. Now, many people become unteachable. They sit under a prophet so long, they say, who do they think they are? And see, at that point, you become unteachable. That would concern me very much, too, if I was anybody that became unteachable. Because God will cast you aside. God's taken many people out of here that they just flat became unteachable. They all of a sudden thought they knew more than the prophet did. Or even the watchman, whatever you want to call me. And so then they were telling me what to do. And that does not please God. It really doesn't. So I'm just telling you this so you can save yourself a little bit of anguish. You be who God's called you to be. You keep your mouth off of other people. And everybody will be happy. You know, I'm not supposed to talk about the church down the corner, and I don't. Never have, never will. But do you know how many pastors sit around in a little clique? Talk, what do you think is going on over there? What do you think God's doing? Why are they still open? You know, that doesn't please God. I don't want you all to get caught up in that kind of junk. You know, just say, it's none of my business. I don't go to that church. It's none of my business. Even if you are there, you're not supposed to be caught up in that junk. Because it's not of God. Now, God is warning everybody about this tonight because he said he's going to start bringing prophets on the scene, but he said the false prophets are already here. And so he's going to bring other prophets on the scene, true prophets. Are you going to be one of the true prophets? If you are, then you have to listen to this tonight. You have to understand what God is saying to you. And his word is yes, and it's amen. It is. And if I was you and God had called me to be a prophet and you know that you're speaking out of what you know about a person, I'd be concerned about that. If you know too much about, that's why I've just said, I'm just going to draw myself away from the people again because now everybody thinks they own me and they have to call me on the phone and talk to me. And I'm not talking about our church. I'm just talking about people come in and they go blop, 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 blop. And I don't care to know all that. Because then I'm no good as a prophet to you. I can't speak into your life anymore because you already spoke into your life yourself. Are you listening to this? So, you know, if you're a prophet of God, then you need to draw yourself away from the public. You just can't be a buddy-buddy to the public. You just can't be because a prophet is always, it tells you in the word, the prophet is a lonely person. And you saw Jesus out talking to people all the time, but he told them what their life was all about. You know, he told them what their life was all about. He did the talking, not the people. Are you understanding all this tonight? I know Chris and his wife sent me some. I couldn't get them, by the way, to read them, so what they said. It wouldn't let me open them. But they sent me some stuff about a prophet, but I didn't get to read it. But it doesn't matter whether I read it or not. I know one thing. I know the body of Christ is in for a lot of heartache and tears if they do not listen to the voice of the Father. Now, you know what God's spoken into your life. Either you can either break it or you can make it. You can either let God go ahead and use you the way he wants to use you, or you can just mess it all up and never be used. And don't blame God if that happens. Don't blame God if that doesn't happen. Because what you need to do is put the reins in God's hands and let God run the show and not you. And too many people are out there making promises to God they're not keeping. And God's keeping account of that too. There's another thing you have to know as a prophet. If God tells you to tell somebody something, and they are refusing to accept it, and they're trying to make you feel guilty about it, walk away. Just walk away. They know that it's gone, but they're trying to get you to tell them something that they want to hear. It's not, I hear God say, out of context. So please don't get caught up in that either. I used to go to this one church all the time, and because the person was brought up under me, and they decided that because I was married to a man, not Larry, but another man who was, he wasn't right. And they said, nobody can God call you if your husband's not right. So I went home crying to God. I always went crying to God. And he said, I didn't call him. I called you. And I expect you to live the upright life. You leave him alone. And he got saved now, born again and everything. But see, I felt condemned because people told me that I shouldn't even be behind a pulpit, let him prophesy, because my husband wasn't right. And God told me he didn't call him. So what I'm telling you this for is, he didn't call your family, he called you. He didn't call your past sin nature, he called who you are right now. So people come to you and say, well, I know what you used to do, and God can't be using you. You just need to brush them off. It doesn't matter what you used to, it doesn't matter what you even did yesterday. God knows everything you did, and if God's called you to be a prophet or anything else, he knows everything about you, and he's not looking at that. He's looking at who you are and your commitment to him. Are you listening here tonight? Some of you are, you're going to go along the wayside if you don't stop listening to people and you just start believing God. Another thing that will happen to you if you're called to be a prophet is that the enemy will cause all kind of havoc in your home. And it'll really make you feel bad then. I'm not even worthy to give a word because look what I'm living through. That's not true. It doesn't matter what your home life is like, you're still worthy to be used by God. If you're doing everything God's telling you to do and you're not the one in the sin nature, you're not the one that's doing all the backbiting and whatever it is, then God's still going to use you. But keep yourself clean. Don't you be the... All right, so let's say your spouse decides they want to make you pay for something you did 3 years ago, 2 months ago, and they start. Just don't answer. Well, you don't. Yeah, I know. I've been down this road. Don't answer. It's better you don't answer and stay in God's perfect will than to answer and get out of his will and lose everything. All right. So you're sorry for what you did. You can't go back. You know, people say to me, I'm so sorry. No, you're not. If you're sorry, then quit doing the same thing over and over again. I tell my family, don't tell me you're sorry. Just let me see what works you put out. You might think I'm ignorant there, but I've heard I'm sorry too many times and it didn't mean nothing. So, you know that you did wrong. You went to God with it. You repented. And now, here's what I just say. God, please fix this mess I made for myself is what I say. I don't have to say that anymore, but a couple times I've said that. Like one time as a pastor, when I first started, I know you should never talk about anybody. And so I opened my mouth for 5 minutes. I messed up. And then I had to go and repent to the people I talked to. I had to go and repent to the people I talked about. But before that, I went to God and repented to him for even doing it. And what I said was, God, please don't make these words die before they hit the ground. Please don't bring any fruit from these words. And so he did. Everything turned out fine. But I never did it again either. So whatever the enemy tries to tempt you to do, say, nope, nope. Somebody's been there a long time knows that you'll get in a whole bunch of trouble if you do. All right? It's better to keep your mouth shut and look stupid. It really is. And eventually God will be, and if he never vindicates you, what difference does it make? You have a walk with God and you're trying to do what God's, you are doing what God's telling you to do. I always say that. You are doing what God's telling you to do. And it doesn't matter what somebody else says, you are going to stay in God's perfect will. All right. I'm hearing God say that the enemy is trying to sabotage a lot of your prophetic word, and don't let him do that. Don't let him sabotage your prophetic word. In other words, he's trying to make you believe that what you heard was not of God. And I know people that do think they hear God's voice, and they don't. But that's only because they're in a place where they're messed up anyhow. You know, things aren't going right in their life. And so the devil then will tell you what you want to hear. And you know, don't get messed up. What I'm saying is, if that happens to you, and you say, God, I'm so sorry I listened to the other voice. You know, like God told me one time, I said, God, I'm always afraid of messing up with God, and I said, God, please don't ever let me mess up, and how will I always be sure that it's you speaking? He said, my sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. So guys, if you're God's child, you know his voice, and you won't follow another voice ever. And if you really listen, you can tell. If somebody's prophesying to you, you can tell by the way they say things whether it's God or not. If you get tuned enough in the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to discern. You know, if it's somebody you don't know, that, you know, somebody prophesying to you, you don't know. If you really listen, you can discern whether or not it's of God. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your word of encouragement to your people. And Father God, everybody in this room, I watched your faces tonight, and they do not want to mess up with you, Lord. They want to hear your voice and your voice only. And Father, I just, Ethan, God would say unto you this night, son of mine, you are a man after my heart as David was. And son, I do not want you to ever again walk under condemnation. Your heart is pure, your heart is changed, and your heart is soft. And the enemy is upset with you. Son, be encouraged in me this night. Take my hand afresh and anew. Close your ears to all that the enemy has to say. And son, as you lay this whole thing at my feet, I, the Lord thy God, I will straighten this mess out. I gave you a promise about your daughter, son, and I'm still going to keep that promise. I gave you a promise about your home. I even gave your daughter a promise the other day about your home, and I'm going to bring it all to pass. I am not a man that I should lie. Right now, the enemy's trying to strip you of all your dignity, son. Do not allow him to do this. You are a man of stature, and you can stand tall, and you can stand firm, and you can be assured that I am with you, and I have not left you nor forsaken you. Son, you have changed so many people's lives recently since you've turned around, and the enemy's mad at that too. But son, it doesn't matter how angry he gets. What matters is my love still secure in you? Son, I love you with an everlasting love, and I promise you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't mean if you go to hell, because you're not going to hell, son. You're going to stand tall, and you're going to stand firm, and you're going to do the works that I've called you forth to do. So, son, sometimes the winds that blow will be very chilly. And, son, sometimes the enemy will try to make you believe that there's no way out, but there is a way out, son. You've already found that way, and that way is in holding my hand and following in my voice at all times. And, son, for you, I'm going to give you a sign that your Father loves you and your Father is with you, and everything is secure in me. And, Father, we just thank you tonight for what you've done, what you're going to do, Father. And, Father God, we wait in your presence right now to see what you want to do next. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.